Welcome to the FTN NBA Podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Joe Metz. Presented by the FTN Network, this two-man fast break runs you through the best cash and tournament options for every game on today's slate.
What is up, everybody? We are back at the FTN Fantasy NBA Podcast after a little bit of a hiatus. Crazy times with the NFL and baseball starting up, but we're back. March Madness is here. The NBA is still here. Adam Pfeiffer, Joe Metz, with you as always. Dude, it's crazy, Joe. I mean, we hop on here at 9 p.m. on Sunday night, and you hop in the Discord or whatever, and you're like, you see what happened to LaMelo Ball? And I was like, yeah, I saw he hurt his wrist, but he's probable on Monday. And LaMelo Ball is out for the year, so we will get to that. But terrible. I mean, the injuries in the second half of the season. I mean, Joel Embiid, LeBron, now LaMelo Ball. Curry's been banged up. Like, brutal.
It's awful. It's kind of remnant of the NFL season. There was that stretch where we had players going down left and right. I don't know if it's, you know, I can't sit here and say it's like conditioning with COVID and like the odd season, because this is, we're what, 4 months into the NBA season now. It sucks, man. Like, LaMelo has been one of the most exciting players this season. Probably a shoo-in for Rookie of the Year, and now he was a shoo-in.
Yeah, that's crazy, too, because these awards are going to change. Like, Embiid was the front-runner for MVP, then LeBron was top five. They're both out for an extended period of time. And now Tyrese Haliburton probably has the driver's seat for the Rookie of the Year award.
I'm gonna bet on Anthony Edwards.
That's a great point. He's hooping. He is absolutely hooping. I forgot about that.
If it takes him and Karl Anthony Towns both scoring 40 points from to win a game, though, that's alarming.
Yeah, they're a bad team. We know that. But yeah, Edwards has been hooping. We got eight games. We'll talk about it. The Charlotte Hornets are on the slate, so we'll touch on them. Obviously, a lot changes with this team. But before we get started, I want to talk about Collectible. Really, dude, you're seeing Jeff Ratcliffe, D-Bro, yourself, everybody from FTN tweeting out some of these awesome, awesome pieces of sports memorabilia at collectible.com. Go on the Collectible app. I mean, I'm seeing, you're not just seeing, like, you know, the high end, you know, most popular players in sports today. It's players from yesterday, right? It's these, you know, I'm looking at the app right now, a 1965 Sandy Koufax Dodgers jersey. Yeah, Dr. J, Larry Bird, and Magic Johnson, you know, triple 1980 Topps card. Steph Curry, this is actually a sick one. It's a 9.5 mint Steph Curry jersey card with his signature, and it's his rookie year. So it's got the throwback Golden, like the J. Rich Golden State Warriors jerseys. All this stuff at collectible.com. Let's fans buy and sell real equity shares in rare and exciting sports collectibles. So like I said, memorabilia, sports cards, all that. Share prices start at just $1. Like I said, sign up, go on the Collectible app, use the promo code FTN for a chance to win a limited edition Topps Project 70 cards signed by DJ Ski and over $10,000 of sports card prizes. Again, collectible.com/FTN. Joe, let's get to the slate, man. Sacramento at Cleveland starts us off, and this is a very, very interesting game because you have a high-paced, you know, a fast-paced, bad Sacramento defense against a bad Cleveland offense or defense. And I guess they're relatively bad on offense, but Cleveland is playing right now. We'll see what happens with the second of the back-to-back. But, you know, we haven't done a pod since Kevin Love's been in the lineup, and then he's been out of the lineup again. So, you know, very possible he just sits. We'll have to keep an eye on that. But Cleveland, I mean, this is a smash spot for Colin Sexton. I talk about it all the time. I mean, Sexton, a lot of his production comes in transition. This season, Sexton is averaging right around 4.5 transition points per game. He's shooting 60% from the field in transition. Those are both like top 15 numbers. Sacramento, they are pretty much bad anywhere you want to look at it. But points per possession wise, in transition, second most points per possession, the second highest field goal percentage at 58.3%. I love Sexton here at 7,100.
Yeah, he's also playing really well on Sunday, obviously, when we're recording. He's got over 30 points right now. And again, Sacramento and Cleveland is really bad as a transition defense too. Sacramento is just as bad, if not worse. So this game, while you don't really think of the Cavs as like a pace up matchup, because they're so bad in transition, we could see Sacramento try to run out in transition more, which could result in the pace of this overall game being pushed, which obviously bodes well for Colin Sexton and increases a few touches. Also makes me like Larry Nance quite a bit. His transition numbers don't jump off the page like Colin Sexton's do, but he is a player we've seen thrive in the transition. He picks up defensive peripherals like nobody's business, so a site like FanDuel, he's especially viable. And he's playing like 35-plus, almost, he's flirting with that 40-minute mark since he's been starting those last three, four games, I believe. So those two are probably my favorite plays on Cleveland. I've struggled with Jared Allen lately. Sacramento's a front court where you think they will give him, you know, 30 minutes. You have Rashawn Holmes. You have Marvin Bagley's out, but you'll see more Hassan Whiteside. So you have a couple of big centers where you do think they'll need him for 30 minutes, but in those matchups over the last week or two, we've seen that not be the case. His price is still $7,600. Seeing the floor we've seen lately, it's kind of hard for me to go there.
There's a huge difference.
Good matchup if he's on the court.
Yeah, I mean, when Jared Allen was traded to Cleveland, they were running Isaac Okoro, Chetty Osman at the four. There's a huge difference between Larry Nance and those guys, just in terms of rebounding. I still think at his price, especially if Kevin Love's out, you know, solidify those minutes, he's still in play, especially against Sacramento. We just know how bad their defense is. But I agree, it hasn't been as enticing since he was acquired by Cleveland. Colin Sexton the other night had a career high in scoring. I think he had 29 points, 8 assists. He hasn't been as good as Sexton this year, but he's missed a lot of time. But when he's been on the floor, he's definitely been improved from his rookie year, which is definitely all you can ask. But Cleveland against Toronto tonight, they got off to a really good start thanks to Dean Wade. he's played 17 minutes, 14 points. I don't think we're chasing that. For me, it's really Sexton. I think Garland's fine, but if I can get up to Sexton, I will.
Yeah,
I do like Nance, especially if Love's out. And, I mean, his price is still low enough at 3,700 that you can go to Isaac Okoro, who's going to play 30-plus minutes. He's at 27 or 28 minutes right now with 6 minutes remaining. So, and he's been better. I mean, the peripherals tonight, 8, 6, and 5. Like, he's not going to be like a fantasy point per minute guy, but he's been better a little bit lately, so I wouldn't hate him if you're needing value, but it's not the highest upside play.
Yeah, I don't hate it at all. Other side of this game, you know, we talked about we talked about how bad Cleveland is in transition. Like, is there a better transition player in the NBA, at least at the point guard position, than De'Aaron Fox?
I was going to say, the only one I can think of is Giannis. And then, maybe, and then Westbrook.
Yeah,
De'Aaron Fox, 5.5 transition points per game, puts him top 6 in the league. 19.5% frequency rate, like you mentioned, Cleveland. I mean, points per possession wise, they're better than Sacramento, but in terms of just frequency and points allowed, I mean, 6 most transition points per game allowed. Only Houston allows a higher frequency rate in transition, so this is a perfect spot for De'Aaron Fox. Buddy Hield at 6,600 perfectly in play. And Rashawn Holmes, I mean, shout out to Max, first of all, for that Charlotte game, right? It was a Charlotte game that he touted him. And then I wrote him up in the Boston game. So if we like him tonight, he's going to go off, because apparently the combination of you, your son, and myself just know when to play Rashawn Holmes. Which, by the way, 7,200, I know he's coming off a down game, but that was against Philly in a blowout. I know Philly doesn't have Embiid, but
at that price, I'm And okay, so he's cheaper than Jared Allen on DraftKings. They're both 6,700 on FanDuel, so they're neck and neck on both sides. I prefer Rashawn Holmes across the board. I think he's a bit more stable, and he has literally the same upside. Like, they both have 60-point upside, and we've seen that. Marvin Bagley being out has slid him to the 4 when he's not playing the 5 occasionally, and he has picked up now that multi-position eligibility on DraftKings, which for a player like him is really, really valuable, because if you can get someone like Rashawn Holmes and then fit in 2 more centers with that rebounding and block upside, that is so much upside in a lineup. So I absolutely love him. He's probably my second favorite play on this team behind Fox, but I am incredibly high on Buddy Hield. I do like Tyrese Halliburton. I'm really sick of these stupid air quote minute limits. But from Luke Walton, like, he's had a minutes limit the last 3 games. He's played 32, 34, 27 minutes.
His minutes limit is
48 minutes right now.
The blurb or whatever before the Boston game was he's expected to continue to be on a minutes restriction, and he played 34 minutes. Played 27 the last game. Again, it was a blowout. And with Marvin Bagley out, he's starting now, and he's closing all the games anyway. So 5,500 for him is really enticing. I know the production has been great as of late, but
if there's a matchup for him to get right and find that ceiling, though, this
could be a game where he gets a lot of those easy assists to Buddy Hield and Fox.
What about Harrison Barnes? He's kind of back on one of the, like, he has these kicks this season where he goes like 30 plus fantasy points for like 5-6 games, and it looks like he's in the midst of one right now.
I think he's a cash game played like on 90% of slates with 45 point upside in the right spot, and this could be the right spot. So I think he's perfectly fine. Like, Cleveland's defense has been so bad over the last month and a half. They're like legitimately with like the Kings and the Pelicans, and these are just terrible defenses over the last month. Like, it's the beginning of the season is long gone from what they were doing. So I like pretty much anybody from the Kings starting five here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think all of them too. Like, you can justify every single one in like a cash or single entry lineup. Like, I feel so safe about all of them where I'm not like, Buddy Hield is a little risky. No, I'm fully confident where I would play, especially at their prices. They're underpriced for the matchup. Like, I think De'Aaron Fox in 9,100 is almost a couple hundred dollars too cheap given the upside.
Yeah, especially in this spot.
This game has a lot of fantasy appeal. I'm on this list.
I'm doing the game-by-game article for Monday. I can already tell this is going to be a lot of pieces of information from this game. I like it. All right, let's move on. Oklahoma City at Minnesota. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander didn't play on Sunday with right shoulder soreness. We'll see if he can get back in there. Al Horford.
He can play. We're going to throw this out there. Right, he's fine.
He could have played. Every game he missed, he could have played. He probably wanted to play, too. But the Thunder, doing what they got to do, you know. Al Horford rested, should be back. He doesn't, you know, he usually plays once after he rests, so he should be back in there. And Darius Bazley is out, or was out Sunday. He's week to week with a shoulder injury himself. So, once again, the Oklahoma City Thunder could be pretty banged up. And we know for Minnesota, no Russell, no Beasley. It's a two-man show for Minnesota, as we kind of alluded to earlier. It's Anthony Edwards. It's Karl Anthony Towns. Anthony Edwards, 7,200 on DraftKings. I mean,
he's shooting the ball so much. Like, he's taking so many
damn
shots.
He's a lock for 18 shots. And I think if the game is a relatively fast pace and it's high scoring, he's exceeding that pretty easily.
I mean, but look at his peripherals too. Like, he's not just scoring anymore,
which is huge, because if he's not hitting his shot, which he tends to do, he won't crush you.
Yep, exactly. He literally shot 22% from the field last game, made four shots, still ended up with 36 fantasy points at 7,100. He had 10 rebounds, 6 boards, block steal.
Look at the Timberwolves usage rate.
It's absurd.
34.1% for Anthony Edwards, 29% for Towns. The next highest is, I mean, he only played 9 minutes. I'm not even counting Jared Culver. The next highest would be Naz Reid at 21.1%. I mean, it's just ridiculous the usage these two have. It is, I'm trying to think of a, I mean, it's like not the same positions and nowhere near the same players, but it's like LeBron Kyrie type usage in the playoffs. Like, it's just,
yeah.
When they were in Cleveland, it's insane. And I think given the matchup, it's still a good one. The Thunder's defense has taken a step backwards. They're awful against post-ups, which Towns does. They're awful against the pick and roll, which Towns does. Towns is one of my favorite plays this slate. I mean, I've targeted centers against the Thunder all year.
He's also pretty cheap.
Yeah, like, he hasn't really been in that 10K range. I mean, I guess 9,500 is that range, but he hasn't been pushing 10K. He's only done it a couple times since he's been back. And I think a lot of that has to do with the occasional like 38, 39 point game sandwich in between. But I love him. I think Edwards at his price is still fine given the volume. Do we even want to play anybody else from this team, though?
I shouldn't say I can't justify anyone outside of Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns. They easily possess the most upside. Ricky Rubio has shown signs of life. My issue is he's up to 6,200 on DraftKings right now. Like, sure, he has shown that 40-point upside, but I much prefer him on FanDuel, where he comes in at 5,500 compared to 6,200, where you're also allocated, you know, an extra $10,000 to kind of tinker with your lineup. So I like him more over there as your second point guard. There has been some buzz around Jalen Noel lately. His price at 5,100, like, I was fine playing him when he was like in the 4-5 range or even below 4K for most of the time, like when Malik Beasley initially got suspended. But at this range, like, he hasn't really shown anything more than a 5X ceiling at this price.
And he's not playing huge. He's playing like 25. Yeah.
I'm good.
On an 8-game slate, there's going to be, like, you can get up to Tyrese Halliburton.
And there's the thing is, like, there's also value now with, like, LaMelo Ball out, Giannis doubtful. Like, there is going to be value where you just don't need to go here. Right. Other side of this game, obviously there is a chance that SGA sits. Horford sat last game for rest. I would expect him to be back. If Al Horford's out, like, we could, like, just because it's a back-to-back, that doesn't mean we will see 100% confidence that Al Horford's back. Like,
I think he plays, but they are, they are tanking.
But Moses Brown has been playing out of his mind in Horford's place. Like, in the last two games without Horford, Houston on the 21st, 13 points, 14 boards, and then Chicago on the 16th, 20 points, 16 boards, and 5 blocks. Shout out to Kawhi Leonard, because he's been touting him since, like, summer league.
That's why he's the go. That's why you follow him.
He, like, Moses Brown is a point per minute machine. So if there's any inkling that Al Horford is out, Moses Brown will immediately become one of the best point per dollar centers on the slate. But I do expect Horford to play.
And I will say this, against Minnesota, if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is active, 8,300. I know he's been bad the last two games. Way too cheap for him.
Yeah,
I will definitely play him, assuming he's active. I don't think he's a bad play or a great play, but I will say Lu Dort is awesome, and I'm sure you've seen the nickname that's surfaced.
Lu Dort. I have not. I saw his block today, which was nuts.
Multiple NBA Twitter, like,
wait, is there kind of like Mini Bron or something after that block? Something ridiculous.
The Dortcher chamber. Because of his defense, which I love.
He locked James. Okay, locked James Harden down. You have to take that statement relative to the player, but yeah, locked him down in the bubble.
He was awesome. All right, Charlotte, the talk of the slate. All of a sudden, LaMelo Ball. We got the word he's going to miss the rest of the season with a fractured bone in his right wrist. Just terrible. And this changes a lot. Obviously, Terry Rozier also on the injury report, but he's probable with a hip. So Devontae Graham, 4,800. See. Like the lock of the slate?
I don't see a way to... Okay, I shouldn't say I don't see a way to get around him. If you're playing one lineup on DraftKings, it's hard to not go straight to him. It's a good matchup against San Antonio, who's been playing at a faster pace. He will probably slide into the starting point guard spot. I expect Rozier to stay at the two. He's just too cheap. Like, we've seen him last season when he was kind of in his stretch where he was scoring 25-30 a game for a few weeks. Like, he's totally fine taking 20 shots a game. We've seen him distribute the ball and rack up 10-plus assists. Like, he has way too much upside to pass up at 4,800, because without LaMelo Ball, you're basically looking at the guard rotation we had last season, and he was getting 34 minutes a game. So I have a hard time fading him. I do think Terry Rozier will be a bit more of a factor than he was last season. Rozier, for the most part, had a pretty down season last year. It's been quite the opposite this year. Probable tomorrow. I would expect him to pick up a good amount of volume, not necessarily the peripherals. Also, it helps Gordon Hayward, who 7,400 is a pretty enticing price for him. I mean, I have not been someone that's gotten him right much this year. He's also only $7,000 flat on FanDuel. You got to think he picks up more. Like, we saw his peripherals take a nosedive when LaMelo Ball started starting. I assume we see those kind of revert back to what we saw when LaMelo came off the bench, if not better, because now he's going to be playing 0 minutes.
Right. And LaMelo, like, I'm probably not going to pay 6,000 for PJ Washington.
No, I
think it's a little high.
Zeller, I haven't seen Cody Zeller's status. He is out, so I think there is some warrant to it, but it is a high price. Like, if you're not getting 40 from him, you're going to be kind of disappointed on an 8-game slate.
Yeah, and I think LaMelo being out hurts him. You know, a guy you can throw lobs to, get in the pick and roll. Washington can still get his, you know, by getting rebounds and stuff. But, yeah, I think Rozier, and keep an eye on the starting lineup. Like, if Devontae Graham doesn't start and we see, you know, somebody else start, maybe that helps Malik Monk at 4K. But I don't know if you can trust the minutes. But, obviously, you know, Devontae Graham, even if he doesn't start, there's not a ton of risk at 4,800, assuming he gets to, at worst, 27 minutes at that price. He should still be fine. And I think Hayward's fine, too. For San Antonio, they're pretty healthy. Obviously, still no Aldridge. He's not going to play. for them anymore. DeJounte Murray, 7,400, you know, kind of safe. You know, there will be some splash games in there, but DeRozan being back definitely isn't the best for his value. And shout out to DeMar DeRozan. Thoughts and prayers with him. That must have been a very tough situation. I can't even imagine what he's been going through this season with everything going on. But DeRozan, you know, came back against Cleveland. Just been quietly, once again, really good this year. DeMar DeRozan has. The facilitating has been awesome lately, too. Yeah. I mean, he's really been more of a facilitator than ever this year.
Yeah, he's been great. He's kind of stepped into not only the facilitating role, but he's been crashing the glass, too. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that he's playing a ton of time at the four. Rebounds have kind of taken a step back with Keldon Johnson's minutes ramping up. And the fact that Keldon Johnson had 11 offensive rebounds and 21 rebounds in a game.
My brother's a Spurs fan and came over yesterday, and that was the first thing he said to me.
Why is your brother a Spurs fan? This seems very random.
Dude, my family's crazy. So my brother has been – so we moved to the PA area when I was, like, four, and my older brothers were, like, you know, nine or whatever. So, like, none of us had favorite basketball teams. So, like, we weren't, like, New York fans or anything like that. And my brother just always loved David Robinson and Tim Duncan, so – just kind of stuck with them.
Makes sense. I mean, it's a hard team to hate. It's just
they're like a team that's like dynasty wise and success wise, a team like the Patriots, except they're likable. It's weird.
Correct, because they like think about the Spurs dynasty they've had since what, like 95, I'd say. Literally, that's my entire life. There have been zero scandals. They're a sound team, good sports. Like, Popovich is one of the most well-respected coaches ever. Tim Duncan is – I think Tim Duncan is the best power forward of all time. These guys don't get the respect of, like, the superstars that they deserve either. That's my
story. I mean, how many Hall of Famers have they had over the last 20 years? Ginobili, Parker, Duncan – Kawhi's going to be get in, so there's another one.
I should say Kawhi.
Obviously,
David Robinson.
Dave Robinson. Like, they just don't play basketball. They like, and I used to get people saying, "Oh, the Spurs are so boring." I'm like, you don't like watching team basketball? You're
it's system basketball. The thing is, it wins games. Like, they won three rings. Like, I mean, I don't really know what. I mean, okay, flashy basketball is Anthony Edwards. Is he winning games? Yeah. Like, and this is not knocking Anthony Edwards. I think he's going to be the rookie of the year now with LaMelo out. But flashy doesn't win you games. I mean, obviously sells tickets, but so do wins. Anyways, Spurs on this slate, like, Keldon is still, like, his price at 5,900. I still think that's a price I'm okay paying with his minutes where they are right now.
Yeah, I don't hate Jakob Poeltl either in this spot.
Neither do I.
If he can get to like 32, 33 minutes against a team that allows, I think, the third most rebounds per game to centers, he could have a quiet, you know, double-double at that price, right?
What about DeJounte Murray? 7,400 is cheaper than we've seen him in, or I guess he was 7,300 last year.
I think he's super safe at that price.
Yep. I refuse to play Derek White with anyone on this team healthy. He's been super inconsistent, even with players out. There's just too many mouths to feed in that backcourt. And DeMar DeRozan, I like at 8,500. These guys are all cheaper on FanDuel, too. Like, these are plays that you can take advantage of. Like, DeMar DeRozan is the exception at 8,900. DeJounte Murray as well at 77. But Keldon Johnson only 5,400. Jakob Poeltl only 5,400. So I do think these are good plays. And this is a team that we never really see carry significant ownership, especially on a full slate. Because of what you said, they're just not, like, an attractive team to watch, which ignorantly kind of just detracts ownership from them. So I'll take full advantage.
All right, let's move on. Toronto and Houston. Houston, what are they, 20 straight losses after today? I think it was 20, 21. It's kind of insane. Again, we haven't done the podcast since Christian Wood's been back, and he's playing huge minutes. He has yet to have a back-to-back situation since returning, so that's definitely something to keep an eye on as we get in the slate. But if he's active at 8K, and he's been great as he was before he got hurt. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on with Houston. And then you have John Wall at 7,100, which is a really cheap price tag for him. That's enticing. What do you think of the Rockets?
I like them. I do have reservations on the back-to-back with Christian Wood, especially because he did play 36 minutes on Sunday. That's the first time he saw over 30 minutes since his return. 36 is like in line with his season average. So I don't see if he plays on Monday, I think he's going to be a full go. But I do have reservations that he's...
Yeah, there's no way you make him active on a second out of back-to-back and play him 25 minutes. That, correct. 20 exactly. minutes at that point, just don't play him.
So if he's active, I think he's a phenomenal play. Toronto, like, we've talked about this left and right this season. Without Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol, they've been really susceptible in the front court. So I'm fully okay paying $8,000, $8,100 on FanDuel. If he's out, we'd probably see more Justin Patton. I have no interest in Justin Patton. We'd probably then see them go small with Jayshon Tate, Kenny Martin Jr., who's been good. And then the guards obviously get a big usage bump in Oladipo, John Wall. And with Eric Gordon still out, I would expect a lot more. We'll continue to see a lot of Kevin Porter, who's been operating as their backup point guard. He's been great.
I was so, like, hesitant. Obviously, like, the off-the-court stuff played into it, but when Cleveland traded him, I was like, he's talented. Good.
He's a hooper. I mean, the thing is, like, there is a ton of off-the-court issues with him, and, like, if he can kind of get away from that, he's going to be a very good player. But I would also like to see him on a team other than the Rockets, who have now lost 20 straight games and are literally, they're showcasing Victor Oladipo for a trade. He's shooting 30 times to do that. And then, you know, like, their backcourt has been absent for, like, the last four weeks. So it would have been cool to kind of see him in a different situation to see how he can thrive as a role player. But, hey, he's getting his chance. I'm not going to knock him.
Can we, and I agree. I think he's too expensive at $6,500.
Yeah, he's 7K on FanDuel. I'm okay getting off.
John Wall at $7,100 is really cheap.
Yeah, it's way too cheap.
I don't think you have to go to the front court if Christian Wood's out.
No, I agree.
Can we talk about what's going on with Chris Boucher?
He played
13 minutes tonight against Cleveland. The game's
I don't know. This is, we saw this earlier this year. Like, let me scroll back in this game.
Like, they've played their starting five. Well, Siakam's only played 25 minutes, interestingly enough.
Like, but, okay, here is end of January. Like, he had a stretch where he finished, like, with, like, 28, 29, 29 minutes. And then all of a sudden, 13, 13, 18, 18. Then 26, 32, 29. Like, I can't stand Nick Nurse when it comes to Chris Boucher. Because as soon as you get excited about playing him, you're like, oh, his minutes are finally stabilizing. Boom, he plays 13 minutes. Like, you literally can't play him. Especially, his price is too high.
Yeah, like, you would think, oh, Christian Wood's out. This should be a Chris Boucher game. But even then, it's tough to trust. But Toronto, I like Van Vliet at $7,600. Again, we haven't talked about this team since they've had their guys back from the COVID list. Yep. I do prefer a $500 savings from Van Vliet and Lowry, Van Vliet being $500 cheaper. Not that Lowry's a bad play, but I prefer other point guards. Like, I would rather play
There is also Sexton. Legitimate trade risk with Lowry, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's been rumors about, what, Philadelphia? For like
Miami is the
now.
Big one.
Miami,
right now.
Yeah, Miami makes a ton of sense. By the way,
he does. And we're what, like 4 days away, 3 days away from the deadline. So like this, is a legitimate time.
Would Kyle Lowry be playing with Jimmy Butler and Bam?
I don't want to think about it being an Eastern Conference team.
Can we talk about Bam absolutely posterizing Sabonis this afternoon?
Yeah, that was great. Two of our favorite players on the podcast.
So
just
good.
Going
But yeah, Van Vliet's my favorite player here. Siakam at 7,500 is fine too. Like, Houston, we know their defense is terrible. They can't win games right now. But, like, they haven't been getting blown out, and Toronto's not even that good right now. So it's like, I'm not too worried about that. I'm sure they'll have a pretty high, you know, spread in their favor. But
I do like those. My favorite
player. Norman Powell's hooping too.
He's my favorite player on this slate. Or not this slate. Wow.
I was going to say, that's aggressive, and I like Norman Powell.
This game. He's my favorite play on the Raptors. 7,100 is too cheap right now for the volume. Like, he's shooting the ball so much. Like, he has, in his last four games, two games with over 30 raw points. If you take that out to five games, he has three games over 30 raw points. He also, like, I was kind of surprised when I saw this. He is averaging 5.1 transition points per game. That is less than half a point behind De'Aaron Fox, who we talked about previously. And Houston, while Sacramento and Cleveland are really bad transition defenses, Houston is god-awful. They're allowing the highest transition frequency in the NBA, the most transition points per game at 23.4. Like, Norman Powell is not a player you typically think of in the transition game, but the numbers point to him thriving there. So this is a picture-perfect matchup for him. You know his minutes are going to be 35-plus. For 7,100 on DraftKings, I'll take the savings and get Norman Powell.
Yeah, I absolutely love that call. Moving on to Indiana at your Milwaukee Bucks. No injury news here. We're good to go.
I guess so.
Who do you like from this game? I mean, Giannis, you can play him if you want. He's good.
No,
he's
under 11K. I thought you were being sarcastic. Giannis is doubtful.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot. So I didn't update DraftKings.
Yeah, and he's, Giannis is doubtful now. So
okay.
That obviously
completely forget what I just said. So just lock in Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday.
Yep. Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday will get a ton of run. I do think this helps Dante a lot more this year than it did last year because he is more involved. But, like, you look at FanDuel. I'm looking at FanDuel specifically. Drew Holiday at 6,800 should be arguably the most popular play on the slate. Chris Middleton's only 7K. Like,
yeah,
those
if Giannis were ruled out before this slate came out, these guys would both be 8K.
Yep. But let's talk about Bobby Portis. He's 3-7 on FanDuel. Like, we locked in Ersan last year. We locked in Ersan last year when Giannis was out.
And Ersan's nowhere near the point per minute player that Bobby Portis is in fantasy.
There's no way Bobby Portis doesn't get 25 minutes here. I'm not going to say 30 because now we have PJ Tucker, but 25 minutes at this price, he could easily have 40 fantasy points without Giannis.
Yeah, and if the game, you know, ever blows out, no matter which way, he's playing. Without Giannis this year, 35% rebounding rate, 1.1 fantasy points per minute.
This is actually, so Bucks fandom aside, this is going to make me sound like a shitty fan, but I wrote up like the Denver Gazette piece for tomorrow earlier this afternoon, mm-hmm. and it was Indy plus 10. I wrote up the two best bets were Indy plus 10 and the over in this game, and this was before Giannis was doubtful, so I hope people locked that bet in. I am curious, though, like,
Milwaukee, the line opened at Milwaukee.
Minus 10. It was opened at on points bet, so I don't know.
So Milwaukee's 10-point dogs. I don't think Indiana's good.
Indiana was 10-point dogs, I'm saying.
Oh, okay. I was very confused. Yeah, okay, you go. Then
Indiana was a 10-point. So now Indiana has jumped to, I see, plus 5.5.
Yeah, okay.
So going to be a lot of line movement in this game. I do, though, like, I don't know if I see Bobby Portis starting because they're going to want that offensive catalyst off the bench, and now they don't need this stardom with P.J. Tucker able to play the four. Do you think they start Tucker alongside Brook Lopez, or do you think they'll take him off the bench and start Bobby Portis?
I have a feeling they'd start Tucker.
Yeah, that's what I lean to right now. Either way, I won't be playing PJ Tucker, but phenomenal real life pickup for the Bucks.
Yeah, I liked it. I definitely did.
But yeah, Bobby Portis. So how do you prioritize? Like, are $3 too many? Like, I want to play Drew Middleton and Bobby Portis. I don't think that's unreasonable.
I don't think so either.
The only issue,
but there's still some apparent risk with Bobby Portis.
That's what I was gonna say. Well, there's the risk with Bobby Portis, and like last year when we were fine locking in, you know, we would lock in Bledsoe, Middleton, and Ersan. Ersan wasn't like the volume dependent player like Portis is. He would just be like the rebounds, the steals, like the hustle guy. Where now it seems like Portis could negatively correlate a bit more because he does rely on volume more than Ersan does. So I do agree there is some risk there, but I do think he's cheap enough where you can stomach that risk.
Pacer side, Sabonis 9K flat on DraftKings. Malcolm Brogdon 7,200, but we also have Caris LeVert in the mix, 6,400. He's been a relatively high usage player since joining the team, starting, playing like 35 minutes a night. How do you view the Pacers here? Maybe the game wasn't. I mean, Milwaukee plays the fastest play, one of the fastest paces in the NBA. That obviously has a lot to do with Giannis. So this game might just slow down a lot more with. And Indiana's played faster this year too under the new coaching staff. But Giannis being out will definitely impact the pace of this game.
Yeah, I agree. While he will impact the pace of this game, he also opens up a lot of room for these guys to operate around the rim. So I do like Sabonis quite a bit. I like Miles Turner at 5,800. I think that's a really cheap price for his upside. And you, Adam, harp on it all the time. Like, the five block upside he has is insane. He has two games in a row of five plus blocks. I do think that upside is capped a bit without Giannis in the lineup because they will be a lot more.
Drew Holiday drives a lot, though.
He does. But then I guess Bobby Portis will be around the rim. But he's not like Giannis where he's literally head down, running downhill every possession. Except I don't know if you watched that Bucks Sixers game where the Bucks had 31 points at half and came back and won the game. The way I've never seen Giannis close out a game like that in my life. He was
feeling himself too after that because he sat down in the court. He was feeling himself.
That is literally the background on my phone right now. It's him sitting on the court with a crown on his head. He's MVP, and I say
James Harden disagrees.
Yeah, I do. Do you think they'll give it to James Harden with what he pulled in Houston? That's literally the only argument.
Depends on who you ask and who has the votes. Obviously, the media does, but I mean, who else are they going to? It's assuming Jokic. Embiid and LeBron miss too much time in the rest of the season.
It's
like
it's Jokic, Giannis, and
Harden, and
I'd say Dame is in there too.
Dame, and then the only other person could be Curry if he makes a run and gets back on the court. But court, yeah. I think
he's also hurt right now.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's going to be Harden or Dame at the end of the season, but like. With the Sixers right now, like if Milwaukee can get up to the 1 or 2 seed, I mean,
yeah, Dame, it's possible. I would love to see Dame win an MVP.
Oh my god!
Because we know he's probably not going to win a ring, unfortunately.
Yeah, unless he just goes. I mean, it's weird to say this because he already goes crazy in the playoffs. But if he's going to average like 38 per game in the playoffs. Like
I know. I've never seen, and I'm gonna there's gonna be so many sidebars on this podcast because we haven't podcasted in like a week.
Yeah,
but that game against Dallas when he just like closed the game out, won it for him in overtime.
He's probably the most clutch player I've ever seen.
In our lifetime, most clutch player we've seen. I think anything outside of top five most clutch player of all time is disrespectful. And I know that's all time.
Obviously Jordan, Kobe.
I think you can put Kobe in there. I think you can put LeBron in there.
Yeah, but don't tell LeBron haters that because they would disagree even though they're wrong.
I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, you can put him there after that one game where he had like 28 straight points in the fourth quarter against Detroit. Yeah. Was that like 04 or something like that? Eastern
A couple finals? Years ago, like if it kept continuing, I was going to say Kyrie could make a run, but yeah. He hasn't really done much since then.
I've seen a lot of Steph on Twitter. I think Dame is much more reliable in the clutch than Steph is.
I don't think it's close either.
No. I mean, Dame has literally ended two series at the buzzer.
Steph hits a lot of buzzer beaters at halftime from full court, which are awesome. But Dame hits dagger
Dame hits
game
them
winners
game
through
seven
your soul.
Literally game seven of the playoffs. He's done it twice.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm trying to think of like 40 feet.
I'm trying to think of another one. There's so many basketball players. I mean, Robert Horry.
Yeah, that's also true.
Partially kidding, partially not. Dude hit so many buzzer beaters. All right, let's move on though. Pacers that stand out.
This game, yeah.
I think
Sabonis is the usual. Is fine.
Yeah, the usual suspects I think are fine as well.
Yep.
Boston at Memphis. Kemba Walker played on Sunday, will not play on Monday, so that opens things up for the Celtics. And then for Memphis, nothing. They're pretty healthy, looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Kemba being out, I mean, hasn't been the most efficient this year, but he's been a massively high usage player. So that opens things up for Marcus Smart, who's back. And obviously, we'll keep Tatum and Jaylen Brown in that 30%+ usage range.
Yeah, I agree. Jaylen Brown's also been in pretty good form recently, and his price is still like he's $7,900 on DraftKings. That's a really affordable price. He on FanDuel is $7,800. So that's a price I do want to pay. I do wish he still had the multi position eligibility. The small forward only kind of sucks, but. He's taking 20-plus shots a game with Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker on the court. That's going to go up with Kemba off. I don't hate Marcus Smart for his price, but because of the value in Milwaukee, because of the value in Charlotte, I just think there are better options elsewhere that have a bit more upside and a higher floor. Daniel Tice has also been playing really well with Tristan Thompson out, aside from one dud of a game where he didn't attempt a shot until like the fourth quarter. We haven't gotten news on Thompson's status. He's out does he have COVID or was he just like in contact? Do we know?
He is working through the health and safety protocols. I don't know if it's confirmed whether he has it or not.
Okay. So he was out Sunday. I think we can lean on the side of caution and probably assume he'll be out. I like Daniel Tice at 4,800. I think he's he's a good fit. Doesn't break the bank, doesn't kill your lineup. He's had 29-plus DraftKings points in three of the last four games.
How weird is it that Robert Williams is $1,200 more than him?
It's really weird. Did we see Time Lord above 4K last year? I don't know.
Probably not. Like, he had that huge game against Cleveland where he went for 13 and 14 with a bunch of peripherals, and then he's been 28 and 18. I don't.
He has not warranted his price tag outside of that game.
Right. I think Tice is really solid. Tatum and Brown, obviously, at their prices with Kemba out are really strong plays. This would be a spot, you know, a month ago that would be like, all right, Peyton Pritchard. But with Marcus Smart back, it definitely hurts Peyton Pritchard. So I don't think we can go there. But Smart at 5,600, I think is like a really solid cash play. Should play huge minutes. Yeah. Still not a high usage player, but more usage should be going his way. For Memphis, I love Valanciunas here. The reason I targeted Rashawn Holmes against Boston in my article is because they give up a ton of points off putbacks, so a lot of stuff on the glass. Celtics, third most putback points per game allowed at 7.1 per game. Valanciunas is averaging the third most putback points per game among all players this year at 3.7 per game. He's just good, man. 7,700 may seem like a lot for a lot of people, but he's not, you know, in most of these games, he's still playing. You know, the minutes have been down a little bit lately, but I still think at this price, he can go for 45 fantasy points.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree. I don't know if I'll need to get there on this slate, mm-hmm. but I don't think anyone will. So I do think
he's never popular.
No, ever. I think it's a fine way to differentiate your lineup. Is there value on this team that you like? Because Dylan Brooks,
I don't know, man.
5,300 on FanDuel, but he's been like, he's never really the player to come out and play 35 minutes, and
Dylan Brooks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't played 30 minutes in any of his last 4 or 5 games.
There's just so many guards. There's him, De'Anthony Melton, Desmond Bane, Grayson Allen.
Winslow now is bad.
Justice Winslow, who Grayson Allen has been, oddly, like, since he returned, one of the more reliable wing players on this team, 23-plus minutes in all 4 games, 23 or more FanDuel points in 3 of those 4. He's still only 4K, so I think you can get away with him, but it's not pretty. Like, this is probably a backcourt that outside of Morant I'll fully fade.
Yeah, and I'm not even on John Morant in the slate. 7,300 is not either a bad price, but I'd rather play Sexton. I'd rather play other guys in that price range. Mm-hmm. So it's really just Valanciunas or bust for me from this Memphis team.
Yep.
All right, we got 2 games left. Before we get to those, I want to talk about underdog best ball. Debro and I are doing a podcast for Fade the Chalk this week, going over some best ball stuff on underdog, some early players at target. I mean, it's March, but we got you covered at Fade the Chalk and with underdog best ball. I mean, daily drafts, you got NBA, you got NHL, MLB starting soon. That's going to be fun. We're a ton of content for MLB. You can do best ball, underdog drafts, daily for MLB. They have new games. You know, you have the Pick'ems, the Over-Under, and the new launched Rivals game. In Rivals, you choose the player you think will score higher versus another player in a stat category on any given day. And in Over-Under, you choose a player that will go over-under a stat amount. Pretty simple. NBA, like I said, NBA and NHL are live now. MLB will be live once the season starts, which is in, what, a week? A little over a week.
April 1st.
Yeah, so be on the lookout for that. To get started, use the promo code FTN, and Underdog will honor a money-back guarantee. If you really enjoy Underdog during your first month, if you're enjoying it first month, they'll refund you up to $100. I mean, there's really nothing not to like about Underdog. MLB Best Ball is another game they're adding once the season starts, or right now, then the season starts. Like, and if you don't know what Best Ball is, you draft, and that's it. No trades, no setting a lineup. It's the best part of fantasy, and that's the draft, and you get to do that as many times as you want over at Underdog Best Ball. Get the app. Use the promo code FTN. 2 tournaments currently live, 50K, 25K. I mean, I'm just rambling because there's so much stuff, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, on top of that, Big John has killed these live streams with Chris Meany,
yeah,
kind of breaking down the ins and outs of MLB best ball over there, because best ball is a lot different than your traditional season long. So there are exploitations you can make, and all those videos I believe are free on the YouTube channel. So I would highly recommend going over, subscribing to the FTN YouTube channel, and then checking out those best ball walkthroughs before you use that promo code, which I promise you will not regret signing up there.
The
NBA best balls are awesome too.
Yeah. And I'm excited to, it's going to be fun over the next couple months to see the ADPs over at Underdog Best Ball. That's another thing we're going to be doing a lot in the podcast as well over the next, over the summer and everything like that. So Underdog Best Ball, use the promo code FTN. 2 games left, Utah at Chicago. Chicago, still a bad defense, but this game's interesting. Rudy Gobert is questionable. We have not seen this guy on the injury report really all year. And, you know, I've been a guy that going to the slate, Rudy Gobert is always in play. 8,400 against the Bulls. I mean, if he's active, the Bulls have no answer for him. So he's really interesting. But if he's inactive, what does that do for the Utah Jazz?
If he's inactive, I think we would probably see Derek Favors slide in to that starting center role. at 3,500 against the Bulls, like Derek Favors is roughly playing, what, 12, 15 minutes a game right now. If you look at his game log, he's a fantasy point per minute player. He gets 25 to 30 minutes against the Bulls. How do you not play him at 3,500? This has been easily the most attackable matchup for centers in the NBA this season.
Last year, really.
So, like, and like, this blew my mind. I was talking to Eddie about this. Derek Favors is only 29.
Yeah.
He's been in the league forever, like, but he's not this washed up.
And it's
up,
funny
like,
because he came into the league with Utah, and then he played with a bunch of other teams, and you're like, you look, all of a sudden you blink, and he's back with Utah at age 29.
Yeah, like, he has been in the league for about a decade, but he would be a phenomenal play if Gobert's out.
Yeah, not a high usage player with Gobert off the floor, but when you have a 32% rebounding rate and you're still averaging over a fantasy point per minute at 3,500, it doesn't matter if he's scoring or getting a lot of shots. Potentially makes this an easier game to stay close with Utah. Donovan Mitchell, 8,700. Gobert, again, not like a massive usage player, but I mean, Mitchell's coming off back-to-back really strong games, playing huge minutes, a lock for 20-plus shot attempts. Chicago has been dreadful against primary ball handlers all season long, so I like Mitchell a lot in tournaments. Mike Conley's more of the cash play at 6,400. We know the upside's always preferred with Donovan Mitchell. I don't think this does anything with me for Ingles or anybody, though. Ingles, we know, really benefits from Conley or Clark, I guess Clarkson, too, but or Mitchell being out. Although he did play 33 minutes against Toronto, but it's I prefer the guards in this spot. And then even Jordan Clarkson, you could like there's still a chance that A, Gobert plays and they blow the Bulls out, or they still blow the Bulls out and Clarkson gets to 30 minutes and smashes against a team that can't defend point guards.
Yeah, I don't I like Jordan Clarkson of any of the guards in this game. I do think even if this game stays close, like he will have a role, and this is a matchup he can take advantage of. I don't target Ingles, especially at this price, unless the point guard or Donovan Mitchell is out. Donovan Mitchell, like you said, good tournament play, but all eyes are going to be on the status of Rudy Gobert. Chicago has been keeping games close. They've been playing better this season, but even if I'm projecting this game to be close, I just don't know if I can get to a run back here. Utah isn't the greatest matchup. I think Zach LaVine would be helped quite a bit by someone like Rudy Gobert out, but he's shooting a ton of threes this year. He's not slashing nearly as much as he used to, so I don't know if that change would make him appealing enough at 8,400 for me, where like I want to get Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday at the guard position, and De'Aaron Fox. So there's so many, Devontae Graham. There's so many other guards, regardless of salary, that I just prefer over Zach LaVine in this matchup. And I think I could say the same thing about Tomas Satoransky, who's been good as the starter, and he's still 4,400. Like, that's cheap enough, but I'd probably, if you look at his range of outcomes over his last four games starting, it's anywhere between roughly 17 and 35 fantasy points. I'd probably feel more confident that he'd end up closer to that 17 than the 35 in this matchup.
Yeah, I think Satoransky's fine. Billy Donovan's been going with the veterans. It's been Satoransky and Thaddeus Young starting. So that helps. You know how I feel about the Bulls. It's usually Zach LaVine or bust. But
yeah,
if you're kind of stuck at a bad power forward position, like Lauri Markkanen at 5,500 probably won't kill you. There's like a ceiling for like 35. Not even close to the most exciting play of the slate, but just given the price, I don't think he's terrible. But yeah, it's mostly LaVine. And then if I had to pick another player, it'd be Tomas Satoransky.
Yeah.
Let's close it out. Atlanta at the Clippers. Keep an eye on John Collins. Multiple reports about him potentially getting traded. There was, who was it that was interested? Minnesota was interested in him. There was a team that was a contender, I think, that was interested in too. And apparently Atlanta's shopping him. They're looking for a first-round pick and maybe a player. So keep an eye on that for sure. And then injury-wise, Trae Young is probable with a bruised right quad for the Hawks. But yeah, I mean, we got to keep an eye on that. Serge Ibaka is out. And DeAndre Hunter, we haven't talked about him in a while.
Yeah, he's been out for what, 2?
He hasn't played since January 29th. He's questionable, so keep an eye on that as well. Start with the Hawks, though. Like, does playing John Collins scare you right now?
It does. Combination of, like, his role is a bit different under Nate McMillan. We've seen him not get benched due to poor performance, but Nate McMillan has been, like, super high on Danilo Gallinari since he took over. Like, look at Gallinari's minutes since McMillan took over. All of a sudden, they go from, like, 25, 19, 25 to 39, 29, 29, 20, 28, 34, 25, 30. Like, he has a much more defined role. And because Capella's at the five, with, and it's not Collins at the five like it was last year, Collins is the one that's going to suffer more playing the four now. So it does worry me. His price is elevated because of how he played when Capella was out. So I don't think I can get there. I would probably rather play Capella for $100 less, which, when's the last time this season we saw John Collins more expensive than Capella?
Yeah, I mean, he went crazy with Capella out of the lineup for a couple of those games, and that helped. But yeah, I mean, when they're both active, I've every single game this year I preferred Clint Capella, so that won't change here.
Yep. And then the Clippers have actually been pretty susceptible against primary ball handlers this season. I think they were bottom five per advanced DVP against both primary ball handlers and dimers. Does bode well for Trae Young, who is listed as probable. Obviously, it helps that Pat Beverly's out. I would still expect to see some Paul George or Kawhi on Trae here and there. But I think at 8,800, he's worth a shot in tournaments. He's cheap.
Yeah, that is cheap for Trae Young, and he won't be very popular on this slate, I don't think, compared to normal. Close out the Clippers. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are cheap. Again,
these guys have been like too cheap for like 3 weeks now. I just don't understand what these sites are doing.
And like, to be fair, they have been going for 60s and 55s all the time, but like, still.
The thing is that these prices, they don't even need to. They need like 35 to make you, like, until they really kill your lineup.
Yeah.
I think they're much more in play on DraftKings than they are on FanDuel. On FanDuel, Kawhi's 9.5. That's a price that I'm fine fading. Except, I guess, with Giannis out, there's really not, or doubtful, there's not many studs on this slate.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Luka. We haven't talked about Dame. We haven't talked about Harden.
No Steph, no Harden, no Westbrook, no Kyrie. Like, these guys aren't on this slate. Like, right now with Giannis doubtful, like, Karl-Anthony Towns is probably my favorite spend up.
Yeah, it's like Towns, it's De'Aaron would have Fox. Been Giannis, and then it's Colin Sexton. I agree.
Okay, here we go. But Paul George is still only 8,200 on FanDuel and still just as cheap on DraftKings. He's sitting
he's
at
the same exact price.
Yeah, he's the same price. Like, this is a matchup that's exploitable, provides more defensive peripherals, and this Atlanta team, especially if DeAndre Hunter's active, even if for 10-15 minutes, will help this team keep it close. So I do like Paul George. And then Ivica Zubac has been phenomenal with Serge out these last three games. 35, 35, 25 in terms of minutes. I
25 was a blowout.
Well, 25 was a blowout, and it was also against a Charlotte team that played a ton of P.J. Washington at center with Cody Zeller out. So against the front court and Clint Capella and John Collins, I have a very hard time with him seeing anything less than 30 minutes. Also, Marcus Morris is 5K. He's been playing well, 20-plus fantasy points in all three games. Don't know if I'd go there at 5K on DraftKings, but for 3.7 on FanDuel, he's probably my favorite punt at power forward.
All right. Anything else?
No, pretty straightforward. This will be an interesting slate. It looks like you can get De'Aaron Fox, and you can fit a lineup with like De'Aaron Fox, Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Karl-Anthony Towns comfortably because of the value.
Yeah, I kind of like how there's no like real superstars in the slate, assuming Giannis gets ruled out. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it'll be a fun slate.
Content. Same as usual, I'll have the game-by-game article at FTN Daily. Joe will have the five stats, and of course we'll have all the other great stuff, the articles from who else? But
Chris Rose and Josh Gross to the Cash Core. You'll have Kyle Murray's Player Raider. I know I'm not on stream tomorrow, but we will obviously have the primetime stream and Fast Eddie. I will be back on stream, I believe, with Stefano and Kawhi Eisenberg on Tuesday. But Prize Picks have been red hot from Sean Evans, CSGO, to Mike Kutry's college basketball. Me and Zach covering NBA. Like, Prize Picks have been on another level, so that'll be out.
Meany with NHL has been on fire too.
Meany, I believe it was yesterday. Let me pull this up before we have to shout out Chris Meany because I've never seen someone running so hot with bets. I believe it was yesterday or the day before. In one night, he was like plus 17 units. It was ridiculous. I mean, he
knows his stuff, man.
Plus 16.08 units in NHL in one night. He's plus 84.5 on the season.
That's incredible. Shout out Chris
Meany. I don't know why I'm not tailing him.
Shout out Chris Meany. Yeah, that's just some of the great team in FTN Daily, FTN Fantasy, FTN Bets. And, of course, we have a ton of March Madness stuff. That's still going on, Sweet 16, Syracuse, shout out. Don't know how they're doing it, but they do it every year with Jim Boeheim. Weird tournament, too. I mean, a lot of these upsets we're seeing, a lot of these top-seeded teams going down.
Oral Roberts, too. Like, I'm pretty sure I just saw a tweet about it right now. I mean, Florida just lost. I believe Oral Roberts is winning.
It's crazy, man. It's that time of year.
Yeah, they did. They beat Florida. So they're headed to the Sweet 16.
There you go. Make sure you check out all the content at FTN Daily, FTN Bets, and FTN Fantasy. Thanks for listening, as always. We'll be back with some more NBA action. Talk to you guys then.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam and Joe. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.